This is for every motherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for growing us up in all aspects into you. No matter how much it hurts and challenges us, and the flesh doesn't want to die, but we thank you for it, Lord. You love us, and you love us well. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Or if you have a Bible app on your phone, you can do that. Let's hold them up and say this together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, I am his kingdom ambassador. I am free of all sickness and disease. I have no spirit of fear, only power, love, and soundness of mind. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to continue our series on Assignment 2020 and just maturing in the Lord. He's asked us to build and foster a culture and an atmosphere of maturity here at Grace Church, and that includes in our homes, amen, where we work, go to school. Anybody besides me had ample opportunity to have your maturity level tested. Amen. Absolutely. Yeah, it's going around. So I want to be so full of the Lord that I don't just react in the flesh. I get tired of knowing who I am in Christ, not matching up with sometimes how I act or how I feel. And that's the Lord's desire, though. You know, the word integrity means one. And what that means is who Steve is on the inside is one with who Steve shows up as on the outside. Amen. Not two-faced, not double-minded, but one. Let's look at Psalm 92. This is verse 12 in the Living Bible. But the godly shall flourish like palm trees and grow tall as the cedars of Lebanon. Isn't that great? That's your inheritance. You're going to grow and flourish like palm trees and be like the cedars of Lebanon. For they're transplanted into the Lord's own garden and are under his personal care. Man, you can't help but grow when you're under the personal tutelage of Jesus. Amen. Now you ignore him long enough, you might have some weeds going, but I promise if you're abiding in him and you're connecting with him and you're listening to him, he's going to challenge you to grow. Amen. I love Matthew 11, 28 through 30, because he didn't say learn about me. He actually said learn from me. Learn from me, because I'm, you know, lowly, humble in heart. But we're not just to learn about Jesus, we need to learn from him. So we're transplanted into his own garden and we're under his personal care. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit and be vital and green. Come on, somebody. That's a good promise for you to lay hold of there. It will be a process for us to mature and transform into actual disciples of Jesus. And I got this from a good friend of mine. He said, I'm glad he's here today. He said, Steve, if you have teachers and students, if that's your mindset at church, then you'll have a school. If you just have gatherings but no spiritual challenge towards maturity and formation, Christ being formed in us, you'll just have a social club. Can I say them again? I'm going to say, if you have teachers and students, you only have a school. If you have gatherings and get-togethers, but no spiritual challenge for growth, you'll have a social club. But if you have doing life together, fighting for each other's freedom, you live in a committed community of believers who are committed to each other's growth in Christ, then you'll have disciple-making. You won't have a church full of church members. You'll have a church full of disciples and mature ambassadors for his kingdom. I mentioned this before. What is God doing in the world today? What's Jesus doing? He is building his church so the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. He's strengthening his body. He's calling us to maturity and to Christ likeness. Because can I get a witness? The world needs to see the authentic Jesus. They need to see the real one, not the one they conform to their image. They need to see the real, authentic Jesus in this hour. Hebrews 6:1 Amplified says, therefore, let us go on past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ, advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection. Everybody say perfection. Okay, that's important. We're going to tie to another verse to that word, perfection, that belongs to the spiritually mature. So we're going to go past elementary teachings toward the completeness and perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. We need to be moving beyond these. And maybe you're curious what dead works is. It's just what it sounds like. It's a work that means nothing. It's a dead work. It's works you're doing, but it doesn't amount to anything. So, for example, if you're trying to go to church so you can be righteous before God, that's a dead work. Jesus got you righteous. Amen. Yes. No amount of church attendance in America can make somebody righteous. Amen. So that's a dead work. If you're helping people at work and you're being nice to them so God will love you, dead work. He already loves you. He loved you before you even started trying to get him to love you. Amen. Just believe it and receive it. Let me show you this one. This is Matthew 5:48 in the New King James. Therefore, Jesus said, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I've told you already that word is mature. Okay, the end of a process of maturity. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. The actual Strong's definition, the end goal of something. That's what this word means. The end of a process. The end of the unfolding of Christ within you. And this is all in like verse, you can start, I mean, just read all of Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. But around verse 21, all the way to the end, he starts telling you what maturity looks like. And I don't know about you, I won't speak for you, but I have a ways to go. When I read Matthew 5, because it ends with us loving people that don't love us, praying for people who persecute us, blessing people who curse us. Yes. Amen? It is. It's challenging. The flesh doesn't like to die. But that's the end result of a process. The Greek word is teleos, which is the end of, you know, that Pirates of the Caribbean, they pull out that long telescope. The end part, teleos. So it's the end of a process is what that word perfect literally means. And so, thank God. Cut yourself some slack. Amen. As we're growing and moving from point A, where we are, to point B, that's Jesus. Don't let the enemy feed you guilt and shame and condemnation. Don't you let him do it. Because I'm telling him routinely, devil, this may be where I'm at, but it's not where I'm finishing. This may be where I am right now, but it's not where I'm finishing. Amen. And then he's going to get me there because Philippians 1:6 says that he's committed. He's faithful to complete the work he began in me. So I'm going to get to that place where I can love those who don't give me love to love them with. And so prove what? To be spiritually sourced. And we're going to look at that. But I encourage you to read Matthew 5, but prepare yourself. I mean, we're talking about, he says, lend money to people. They ask you for money, give it to them. Don't ever ask for it back. Radical generosity. Radical purity in this. You know, he says, you've heard it was said you shouldn't commit adultery. He said, but I say to you, if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed. So maturity is not some outward conformity to rules. This is a work from the inside out. Let me get your heart right. Don't you know, remember when he said, if you make the tree good, its fruit outwardly will be good. So you got to fix the inside first. He told the Pharisees, why do you clean the outside of the cup? You're wasting your time. Don't you know if you clean the inside of the cup, then the outside naturally becomes clean. So the kingdom is what? The kingdom's all about your heart. It's all about your motive. It's all about your internal processing for you to get where we're going. Amen, somebody. My goodness, that's good. So we want to know Jesus. We want to abide in Jesus. We want to then walk in his ways, which means look like him. We want, when people see us, we want them to see him, his character, his attitude, his demeanor, how he responds to adversity, not how our flesh does. We want to then do his works. Can I get a witness? We want to put him on display for all the world to see. Our job is not to out-argue the pagans, people. It's to out-love them. It's put Christ on display. This idea of, you know, head-to-head combat and in repaying insult for insult. That's not Christ. It's not what we're called to. 1 John 2:6 says that those who abide in Him will walk in His ways. And then John 15:8, Jesus even said, if you're a disciple, then you'll bear much fruit. What kind of fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's the name of our kids. Jesus is our husband. We're the bride. We have union. We bear children. And they're all the fruit of the Spirit. He also said, by this, when you bear fruit as my disciples, my Father is glorified. My Father is glorified. So we're tasked with that. Let me show you the message real quick. Matthew 5:48. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. The beautiful part of this is God is your source for how you treat other people. Can I say it again? God is your source. He lives graciously, generously, lovingly towards you. So let me be your source for how you treat other people. I'll never forget the Lord saying, Steve, I didn't wake you up today for people to treat you right. I woke you up today to reveal my great name. Amen? So can I pass that on to you? He didn't wake you up this morning so everybody treat you right. He woke you up to reveal who He is, how great He is. Never let the enemy convince you that you're behaving a certain way because of someone else's behavior. Never let the enemy convince you that you are the way you are because of what someone else is doing. You're in the wrong source. You need to live generously and graciously the way God has supplied you. Wow. Come on, don't shout me down. This is a full gospel church. Look at this one. This is the Amplified Bible. You therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity. You're now one, your inside and outside matches as your Heavenly Father's matches. Amen. Jesus in Matthew 5, especially 38 through 48, will invite you to radical purity, radical humility, radical generosity, and radical love. But sign me up. Amen. Sign me up. Gavin made this slide for me of the Old Testament tabernacle and now the New Testament one. I believe the Lord's taking us through a process of maturing. You know, we've asked Him or invited Him to do that. And what you have here, if you look at the very top, top right says outer court, then follow left with me. Most holy place or the inner court, and then the holy of holies. Okay, Old Testament tabernacle, you with me? Down at the bottom, the New Testament tabernacle is you. Outer court is body. Inner court is soul. Holy of holies, place where God's presence dwells, your spirit. Your spirit dwells there. And the Lord told me, He said, I'm moving you all from the outer court where you're carnal. You relate to Him based on natural things. You almost see like, you know, there's a distance between us and God. And in the outer court, people pray to Him. And even lost people pray to God. Yes. Amen. And so in the outer court, you're just throwing up prayers, hoping something sticks. You hope He hears you. All right. And then He says, no, I want to move you from there to the inner court, the most holy place where you're listening to Me. So we're not just praying to Him with all this separation mindset. Okay. We're now listening to Him. And in the most holy place, you have the oil of the Spirit. You've got the lampstand and the oil. So there's some relationship now. God's moved in. I got a little bit of relationship going, but I'm learning to listen to Him. It's not all about me, but look where He wants to take you, being with Him. He wants to take you past the outer court, through the most holy place, into the Holy of Holies. There's a giant veil, 6-inch veil, between the inner court and the Holy of Holies. And He wants to take you to behind the veil living. Can I get a witness? Intimacy happens behind the veil. So union happens there with the presence of God. And when Jesus came into my heart, He came into my spirit, lower left corner. He came into my spirit, and now I can be with Him. I'm one with Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, whoever's joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. So I'm now in union with Christ in my spirit. And guess what? My spirit has never sinned. My spirit will never sin because it's one with Christ. It's never known sin. That's how righteous and pure you are behind the veil. But most people live relating to Him in the outer court. You see, I don't want you just praying to me, and I don't want you just listening to me. I want you being with me. I want you and me and I and you all day, every day. And guess what, Brother Larry? When you go into the Holy of Holies, you got the mercy seat. And you're seated now with Christ in that mercy seat. You're seated with Him, and it faces back towards the other two compartments. So you're one with Him. You see now into the inner court and the outer court. You see what He sees. He sees what you see. There's a oneness behind the veil. And that's how He wants you to live. One with Him. And because we can both see together now the soulish realm, which would be the most holy place, and my body, because we can see those, then He goes to work on them. And He says, I want what we have in the spirit, I want it to permeate your soul and your body. Because in your soul, it's your mind, will, and emotions. And even though He's present, your spirit is saved, church. It is heaven ready. Your spirit is in union with Christ. Amen. And I don't know. I totally lost my thought. What did I say before that? Anybody remember? What else? Seated with Christ in the mercy seat. What else? Yeah, thank you. So even though my spirit is heaven ready, He wants to go to work on my thought life, my emotions. We talked about traffic. Amen. Emotions can get the best of you. He wants to be lording your emotions. And then your will is also in your soulish man. That's your choosing mechanism. Can I get a witness? He wants to be Lord of your decisions. He does. And then to manifest in the body. I like to say it this way. The spirit sows, the soul receives that the body may birth. The body actually reveals who's in us, who we're pregnant with. The spirit sows, the soul receives, the body brings forth the manifestation or reveals who's within us, that life is within us. Yeah. So this is a process of maturing that he is taking us through. Now I got many other scriptures I want to give you here. Tabernacle, when I say Old Testament tabernacle, New Testament tabernacle, means dwelling place. So in the Old Testament, God dwelt in the tabernacle, in the compartment of the Holy of Holies. That was where He dwelt because of the fall of man. He couldn't live in an unholy temple, so they had to build one, a holy place for Him to dwell. Okay, but God then, one of the missions and ministries of Jesus was to move the presence of God from sacred buildings to sacred bodies. That He would actually take the presence of God. When He died, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, 6 inches thick, rent as soon as He died, declaring, proving that the Spirit of God could now return to its original tabernacle, you and me. That's one of the very stout ministries and missions of Jesus. That's why it's okay for you to believe that Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. But it's all of no effect if you don't receive the gift of God's presence in your spirit man. And once that spirit man, once His spirit comes into your spirit man, then you get to start what? Being with Him. Intimacy has been restored. Can I get a witness? Adam and Eve were intimate with the Lord in the garden before the fall. It's amazing. So the dwelling place of God. Let me show you this. Romans 12:2. This is the message. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's what we have to be cautious of this. Instead, fix your attention on God, because you'll become like what you're beholding. You'll be changed, here it is, from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. That's hearing and obeying. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of what? Immaturity. Is there any immaturity going on in our country? Have you seen the debates? It's always, you know, you insult me, I insult you. It's cut each other down. It's nasty out there. We're not called to that. God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed what in you? Maturity. Amen. So we renew our minds. We hear and obey the voice of the Lord. We abide with Him. We are with Him. And because of that, there's constant, long-lasting transformation in our lives. And can I get a witness? It's not just one transformation. When you look at Jesus, we're going to be continually transforming into His very own image and likeness, which is our destiny. Romans 8:29. Look at John 2, verse 18. So the Jews said to Jesus, "What sign will you show us since you do these things?" And Jesus said, "Hey, destroy that temple over there, and in 3 days I'll build a brand new one." What's the temple? It's the place where God dwells. So He says, "You see that building where God's supposedly dwelling? We're going to tear it down. I'll build a new one in 3 days." They said, "You're crazy. It took 46 years to build it and you're going to raise it in 3 days." But He was speaking of the temple of His body. I'm telling you, one of His assignments was to rebuild the dwelling place of God, to cleanse the temple, you, so that the Spirit of God could come and dwell again in your spirit. And there, go to work on the rest of you. Amen. Yeah, let it be, Lord. Somebody should write a song, "Let It Be." We have a brand new dwelling place, God has a brand new dwelling place, and it's in our spirit man. He told the Pharisees in one instance, "Your house has been left to you desolate." In other words, they thought the presence of God was still in there. He said, "It's not in there, it's in me." And He said, John 12, "If a grain of wheat doesn't go into the ground and die, it'll remain the only one. But if I go and die, I will bear much grain. I will multiply what I am." And what He was the brand new tabernacle. And when He rose again 3 days later, He built you and I, now cleansed from sin by His sacrifice one time for all time, so that the Spirit of God could return to us. And man, I plead with you, God wouldn't move inside of you just to be tucked away somewhere. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to know His voice, and He wants you to be with Him. And the more you're with Him, the more you'll become like Him. And I'm going to say it again, our world needs to see the authentic Jesus in this hour. Amen. Amen, amen. How about some other ones? 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever's joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Okay, so you're one in the Spirit with Him. And then verse 19, do you not know that your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit, who's where? In you, whom you have from God. You're not even your own. He bought you with a price. 2 Corinthians 6:16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, look, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Do not bang against your body. Do not despise your body. Your body is holy and sacred. It belongs to the Lord. I'm not talking about the flesh. What you get upset with is the flesh nature and the mind of the flesh. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your body. This body gives you access to put God on display in this realm. Don't hate your body. It's sacred. The moment your body passes or ceases breathing or your heart quits beating and so forth, you no longer are on assignment here. Does that make sense? It gives you access. You gotta have it. When God Himself came, He put one on. So the body is sacred, but it should be given to the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. It allows you, well, I'm gonna say it this way, it really allows God, through your willingness, to reveal Himself in this dimension. And can I get a witness? He does want to do that. Have you heard the prayer, "On earth as it is in heaven"? So thank God for your body. Don't despise your body. Thank God for your body. It's a container to put Him on display. Amen. Separation theology is a mindset that God's way off in heaven and He's just cheering you or booing you. Flee separation theology. You're in union with Him here. You're the dwelling place of God's Spirit. When you listen in prayer, you listen from within. He's going to speak from the inner chamber of your spirit, man. Amen, somebody. For years as a Christian, I kept waiting for God. I said, God doesn't speak to me. I don't hear anything audibly. God is spirit. And He knows I'm hard of hearing, so He moved this close. So I can't miss it. I am hard of hearing. Amen. I got a lot of witness on that. Ezekiel 36:26. God said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit where? Within you. I'll take the heart of stone out and give you a heart of flesh, a soft heart. Look at this. I will put my spirit inside you and cause you from within to walk in my ways. Amen? I don't know about you, but if you do a big piece of stupid, or if I do a big piece of stupid, I don't hear an audible voice say, stop that, or I don't get the giant fly swatter upside the head. I hear it in here. And he causes me from within. Keep conforming. Keep conforming. And like I said earlier, don't let the devil shame you and beat you up. You tell him, hey, this is just where I am. But this is where I'm going. And I'm going to show you that passage in a little bit. He is committed. He is faithful to get us there. Look at Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, Jesus Christ has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. It almost sounds like a contradiction, but Hebrews 12 says the spirits of just men have been made perfect. So your spirit man is perfect. You've never sinned by the Spirit. 1 John 3:9, whoever's born of God cannot sin. Have you guys seen that one? Everybody messes that up. He's just saying nobody's ever sinned by the Spirit. If you sin, you fleshed out on somebody. You went back to the old mind, the old way, right, Peggy, of dealing with people. Let me go back to how it used to be. Whoever's born of God cannot sin. The Spirit has been made perfect. And that's what he's saying here. Through Jesus Christ, we've been perfected forever. Well, that's good news. But look what he says, those who are being sanctified. So my spirit is saved. My soul is being saved. And my body will be saved at the second coming. But aren't you glad you've got a place to work from? He didn't say work for your salvation. He said work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work from what you have. It's settled in your spirit. And now let's go to work on your soul and your body, conforming you to look like me. I love this passage. I'm perfect in my spirit forever. And then I'm also under construction in the other two compartments. Amen, somebody? Here's another good example. Matthew 13:33, New Living Translation. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she only put a little bit of yeast in the three measures, it permeated every part of the dough. Okay, so you're a three-part being. God spent 50 chapters in the Old Testament revealing the tabernacle, which was three parts. The outer court, the most holy place, and the holy of holies. That was to give us some insight that this is fairly important. Because when the new tabernacle comes, he's going to start in the holy of holies. But he's going to leaven your thought life. He's going to leaven your emotions. Where instead of, you know, quick-temperedness and anger and those things, we see love and joy and peace and patience. Amen? And he leavens my body, and my body is holy because it's set apart for him. His presence dwells in this inner chamber. Amen, amen, amen. That's good. And then here's James 1:21. Lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word. That's the word of God, Jesus Christ, which is able to save your souls. So there you see it. Your soul is in process of being saved. I don't know about you, but if you come out of traffic, you probably need your soul saved again. My spirit was saved the whole time. I just didn't put him in charge. I let my soulish man take over, who had been trained, Sylvia, for years by the flesh nature. Not by my body. My body is not bad. The flesh mind that trained me growing up is what I'm overcoming. 1 Peter 1:9, you're receiving the end result of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. So faith and belief are awesome because they permeate our soulish man with Christ. We're not of those, this is Hebrews 10:39, we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but we are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. One more, 3 John 1:2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. This makes sense now, doesn't it? When you get spirit, soul, and body, Scripture will come alive to you. It absolutely will come alive to you. Makes sense. I used to struggle with, how can you say I'm righteous and then I do unrighteous things? Seems like I'd be unrighteous now. He said, no, your spirit man, Steve, is righteous. You didn't sin by the Spirit. I didn't do that. Amen. Remember, my spirit's one with Christ. It's a union behind the veil. So that helped me to understand, okay, well, in my spirit, I'm righteous, but when I didn't renew my mind to how righteous I am, I did something unrighteous. So it's very important how you see yourself and what you think about yourself. You need to agree with God. Somebody ought to say the truest thing about you is what God says about you. You ought to agree with that. But as your soul prospers, you can be in health. Because why? Because emotions can be unhealthy. Do you realize we pass on the health or unhealth of our emotions to our body? And let me give you an example. Bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, malice, revenge. Those are unhealthy emotions because you don't see them in Christ. What we see in Christ is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those things. Those are healthy for human beings. I didn't just say Christians. They're healthy for every human being. Can I get a witness? God didn't just make Christians. He made human beings. But he made human beings for Christ. Gas in the car, oil in the lamp, Christ in the human being. That's why we need to put the Lord on display so when they see him, they can be drawn to him because all of them are made for him. We're all made. That's the only image we're created to bear. And I tell you, we get on the media and Twitter and the news and all that. And we're looking at all these images. You will be nothing but frustrated if you conform to those images. There is one image you're created to conform to, and it's the image of Christ. That's why he said in Matthew 22, show me the money, you know, with the coin. He said, whose image is on this coin? They said, Caesar's. He said, well, then render to Caesar what has Caesar's image on it. But whatever has God's image on it has to be given back to God. And that's every human being has the image of God. We're all made in his image, I should say. And so we got to be rendered back to God. So your spirit is where the Lord resides. Your soul has your mind, your will, and your emotions, and he's after them. You know, Jesus didn't do anything of his own initiative. He was completely submitted to his Father. He didn't say anything the Father didn't say to say, and he didn't do anything the Father didn't say do. That's where we want to get to. He's completely under lordship in his spirit, soul, and body, and that's what the Lord wants for us. Amen. Amen. That is what he desires for us, where we're doing nothing of our own initiative. So if somebody cuts you off in traffic or curses you out, you got to say, Father, I would like to repay evil for evil and insult for insult. May I? And he'll say, no, son. So I don't do anything of my own initiative. Amen. I can't get much help in here, but that was good. How about this? Your new birth was quick, bringing your dead spirit to life was quick. As soon as you gave him consent, the Spirit of Christ went into your spirit back behind the veil and he saved you. So that was quick, but changing some of your thinking. Come on, somebody. It takes a while. How about him guiding you by the Holy Spirit, guiding you into all truth? That might take a while. New birth quick, guiding you into all truth. Well, that might take a while. But it's a process he's committed to. Gavin, you guys can come. Look at this. This is Philippians 1:6. Being confident. Where's your confidence at today? Being confident of this thing. What thing? That he who began the work in you, he will complete it until the day of Christ. Can we clap our hands in this church? Because we all signed up for maturity. And we think, boy, I can be a hard taskmaster. And it can be challenging. But look, where's your confidence? My confidence is that he's committed to see it through. He's committed to see it through. He who began the good work will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So the war's in your mind. That's where it takes place. There's so many passages about set your mind, renew your mind. You have the mind of Christ. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then he says your mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. You know, I visited this week with Brother Austin right over here on the front row, and then Brother Marlon Corey as well. And to listen to them talk about abiding and being with Jesus, it's totally changed Austin's perspective. He's a new believer. But he asked me one day, I just don't see any evidence of Christ being in there. And I showed him John 15 about abiding. And he said, I have not been doing this. And so I showed him how we move from praying to God to listening to God to being with him. And when we're with him, his character, his love, those things begin to show up. And the beautiful part is naturally they show up. Why? Because we become like who we look at and who we hang out with. Amen. It's beautiful to see what's happening in this house. There are people abiding. There are people being with the Lord. And because of that, being transformed. And God's heart is not just that you get set free, but that you live free indeed. Right? Knowing the truth will set you free. He also wants you to be free indeed. Have the tools, maybe have the relationships with people that'll help you walk it out. Will you stand with me? Amen, amen, amen. Wow. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are committed to our maturity. Lord, that you're going to complete the work you began. We consented. We welcomed you to our spirit. But Lord, now you've gone to work on our soulish man, our emotions. Oh, we want to be emotionally healthy. Lord, in America, they need to see it. We need to be emotionally healthy, that we're prospering emotionally. We're not just reactionary. We're not quick to anger or quick to judge and all those things. But Lord, we're full of the gentleness, the radical gentleness and kindness that you taught us and you modeled in Matthew 5. And I just pray, Lord, and I sense it this morning, great grace upon your people. You love us, Lord, and you're committed to us. This is the word of the Lord. It's maturity, and we are sure not going to be your first failure. You are committed to see this through. And for that, Lord, we love you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen, everybody. Amen. If you need prayer or you have questions, stick around and we'll meet you in the altar. Otherwise, let's go be a blessing.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.